Rockin' the Raccoon. Oh, I found, I remember we were talking, I don't know, a while back, and you're like, oh, the Rocket Raccoon toys are like 14 bucks.
Yeah.
I found the one that I was thinking about online. It's him, like, without a gun made into him.
Not the one that I got, Ethan, but it's, then again, it's a 6-inch figure, you know what I mean? It's pretty tall. But
I gotta give credit to some of this, because he still talks about, today he was doing the whole, I am Groot. Okay, whenever you're ready.
I was in many minds. I was in an airport bookstore. I wait for many moons. Left a suitcase on the fourth floor. Enormous balloons. Gold choker made out of spoons. Eating super sugar crisp.
Everybody, welcome back to Collected Issues. This is Session 11. This is Mike.
This is Bruce.
And we are we're going to talk about a character that I think we both have a good amount of love for, actually.
Near and dear to my hairy chest.
I
liked him before he was cool.
I don't know if that's true. I can say about that. I came into comics much later than you, but I liked him because Mike Mignola worked on him a long time ago, and just seeing the artwork that Mignola did on it, I just really liked it a lot. But we're talking about Rocket Raccoon, clearly.
And when did that series come out with Mignola?
Like 86 or 85 or something.
Because I have like issue 3 of that.
I bought the collected edition that they Marvel did.
Was that like one with the cover from Mignola that Mignola did not give them permission to use?
No, unfortunately, it has a stupid Steve McNiven cover.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was hilarious that he's like, hey, that's a nice cover.
I did not get, no, it wasn't one of the nice editions. It was like I was at a Superfly and they had a Rocket Raccoon book and it said Tales from Half-World and I'm like, interesting, and I'm like, well, that's Steve McNiven on the cover, and then I flip open, and I'm like, oh my god, they just did a small reprint who wrote that book? I cannot think who it was.
Wasn't it Gerber? No, it wasn't Gerber.
Mantlo. What's his name?
Bill Mantlo, the creator.
Is that who it was?
I think it was.
I'm looking it up right now, but anyways,
who inked that with Mignola?
That's what I'm going to try to find out.
I don't remember. We should have looked into that.
Yeah, we're stupid. Bill Mantlo, is that his name?
Yeah, that's the creator.
He's actually partially created by Keith Giffen, too. So how can you not like this guy to begin with? He was inked by Al Gordon and Al Milgram.
Okay, Milgram,
But Mantlo did do the story again, though.
Okay.
But yeah, I always thought he was kind of a cool-looking character, and I really enjoy Mike Mignola's artwork.
His costume in that original series is awesome, that green and white trim suit.
Looking at it right now, actually.
That rogue kind of stole from him?
Yeah, pretty much. and that was in, let me see, where does it say that? That was 1985.
That turtle he traveled around with, and the walrus. And what was his lady friend? Was she a rabbit?
I think so. She was a princess or something. But
they were always fighting evil clowns, robot clowns.
it was great. Rocket, obviously, a really big deal right now. Got a lot of love from Annihilation Conquest from the Star-Lord series and became part of the new Guardians of the Galaxy that DNA wrote. And that, you know, obviously, we have like a lot. Especially you, Bruce. And then I know that Rocket did some backups in the Annihilators miniseries that they did, which took place after the Thanos Imperative.
Yeah, wasn't that him, like, working for a delivery company or something? And
I don't know, actually. I just know that Mike Mignola did the variants for a couple issues, and, like, instead of it being, the Annihilators, he would put Rocket and Groot on the cover of it and everything, which I thought was really cool.
I think Groot was in a pot during most of that.
Yeah. Favorite thing about probably the Ultimate Spider-Man episode, that when they throw Groot in a pot and he just goes, I am Groot, it just grows really big. It just starts kicking the crap out of Korvac or yeah, Korvac, yeah.
It's weird going back to what was it like Street, the Capcom versus Marvel or something like that.
Yeah,
I remember one of the video games, Rocket Raccoon was in it, and he had an Australian accent.
Australian, huh?
That's a racket,
which he's not a koala bear, right? Okay, it's kind of the same thing.
But he had this weird accent. I'm like, I've never imagined him with an accent.
Do you remember the Pride of the X-Men, the original series pilot that they tried to pitch for the first X-Men cartoon before X-Men the Animated Series came out?
No.
Did you ever see that?
No.
Do you remember the arcade game of X-Men that you could play as, like, Wolverine, Cyclops, Colossus?
Yeah, you were like four people could play at the same time.
Yeah, essentially, this episode was essentially what they made into the game.
Okay, and Wolverine had an Australian accent in that, right?
That's what I was talking about. He's like, well, let's go get these mutes. I'm like,
okay, so the guy who ended up doing the voice of Wolverine in that original X-Men cartoon?
He was a G.I. Joe voice, wasn't he?
Well, he played Bishop in the Generation X, not Bishop, Banshee in the Generation X movie.
Which Banshee is Irish.
Yep, he had a horrible Irish accent in that movie.
I can imagine.
We need to review that movie. That's a really bad movie.
Generation X.
Yeah, the made for TV thing. No, it was a made for TV movie. I think they were hoping it'd be like a pilot, but no.
Didn't they do Mutant X though, or what was the show that they did?
Yeah, they did a Mutant X TV show that was in no way related to the X-Men.
Okay, never mind then.
It took place in the future, and they were all like a hybrid animal type of things. The villain was Andy Warhol, and
oh god,
yeah.
Maybe we should do a maybe we'll find a way to do like a who are the like the mysteries or Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys. We'll do a video review of that.
Some sort of Riff Tracks type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think Riff Tracks done by the same people, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Anyways, so Rocket Raccoon. There's three issues out now. Yeah, three issues.
Yeah.
Written and drawn by Scotty Young and colored by where'd it go? I gotta find it.
I don't even think it says colored. It's like co-colored or with color assists from.
I don't know. They put somebody else's name on the cover though.
Yeah. It's a guy that Scotty Young's worked with before.
Yeah, I don't know how to say his last name though. It's probably the problem because it's something foreign, like most comic book
No, guys. I think it's like French or Cajun or something.
Cajuns?
Yeah. Jean-François Bellieu.
Yep, it says color art. So,
I thought in the first issue. Yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm looking at the first issue right now.
Oh, I'm looking at the third one.
Okay. But anyways, so with special thanks to Stephen Wacker. One-time editor of the book 52 and then became X-Men editor. Anyways, I don't think it has any direct tie-in to the Guardians series except for the fact that he does ask for assist from the Guardians at one point in time in the first issue.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice because you can kind of just ignore everything that Bendis has done about the Guardians to some extent.
Keeps it pure. But
the one thing that was like, why did they call this Rocket Raccoon and not Rocket Raccoon and Groot? Because Groot's in every issue.
He is. He's also in the background and has one line he delivers over and over.
That's true, but still, I mean, he plays essential roles into almost every part of the book, though. I mean, without him, he doesn't break out of prison. Without him, he doesn't escape from the police in the first issue.
Oh, I'm not arguing that he's unimportant. You've got to go with the character who talks.
I guess. But I'm just – that's why I would give him second running on the cover then. You know what I mean?
Raccoon and Groot. And they're saving that for the reboot.
Is that what it is? Which will happen in next year.
Weeks, probably,
yeah. But in this – up to the third issue, the story is that somebody is creating – or committing more murders than Rocket knows about in his name.
Yeah.
It's someone who
murders that he can't justify.
Yeah, which he tries to do through a lot of the book. It's pretty comical. I mean, it's very lighthearted series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Scotty Young's artwork is just fantastic as usual. I do enjoy his artwork a lot.
Amazing storytelling, wonderful character design. I was reading through this and I'm like, man, all these aliens look awesome. Because with our book, I'm like, I need these aliens to look alienish.
Yeah.
Not just like, hey, they're dudes with, you know, purple thorns on their face.
How much do you think we could pay Scotty Young just to make aliens in her book? Like, you know, we talked about Mike Norton doing technical drawings in
the, yeah.
We'll just have Scotty Young fill in aliens for us in the book.
Alien crowd shots by Scotty.
Yeah, that's right. It was the one thing that I think I'm like, I don't know if it should be done on purpose, but like the dialogue's over the top, like extreme, a lot of cussing in it. But I mean, it's all blanked out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like it doesn't even take itself remotely serious, you know? So
well, it's Rocket is he's Joe Pesci.
Is that how you've always imagined him being?
He kind of like little fuzzy Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
From I'm talking like Lethal Weapon Joe Pesci.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that makes kind of perfect sense. Although I can't imagine hearing Rocket with that voice now after hearing Bradley Cooper doing it, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's a fun little book to read though.
Yeah.
It's not the stupid one-liners that he gets in the Guardians book with Bendis right now, where he just says, "Blam, killed your face or murdered your face or whatever."
The difference is between liners and character.
Yeah,
Bendis is writing liners.
Yes.
Like clever little snippets of, hey, this would look good on a t-shirt. Scotty Young is writing character.
Yes.
Like personality.
I would agree. And the one thing I thought of was like, wow, is he going to kind of date the book a little bit too? Because there's a part where he's in prison in the second issue and he's just making movie quotes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember. He's like, you can't handle the truth. And they're like, where did all the beer come from? And they're like, I don't know. And then he says, retainer. And he's like, what? And he goes, it's a quote. And they're like, what? Quote? What? From what? You know, TVs and film. And he's like, it's that movie with, what does he call him? Banafalo or something like
yeah.
that? And the Mork from Ork guy, which I'm like, oh my God, that's almost like a quote from Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. It just, I'm like, that's really funny. And I'm like, but is that going to date the book even more? Or is every, since everything's technically dated in the, that he's referencing anyways, it's not going to matter. You know what I mean?
I think in this day and age of trades, everything's dated.
Yeah.
The moment it's printed, everything's dated.
How do you make something that's not dated then? You know what I mean? Like how that dates itself.
You can only have, like Fables isn't dated.
Yeah.
Because it's all self-referencing.
Right.
Because it's completely self-contained in a bubble. Rocket takes place kind of in our world, tangentially right. to our world. That's why he can reference movies, because he's seen movies.
Right.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you can keep from doing that is to have them never interact with Earth.
Right. And I think that's why, and I mean, I don't know what it'll look like, but our book won't date itself because we're not going to be making movie references and TV show references from whatever the pop culture narrative is right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was thinking about that like the other day when I was thinking about like people who reference stuff in comic books all the time. You're talking about stuff being dated. You know what it was? I was listening to the podcast again with Ryan, and you're talking about how they make Game of Thrones references, and you're like, that's going to date itself pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you avoid doing that? I'm like, well, you either have to do something that's a period piece or takes place way away from Earth, or, like, it doesn't matter where it takes place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to do, actually. But this series is fun. Like, I mean, I read most of it today. And it's not like a slow burner read. It's fast.
No.
It has good pacing, very, very witty dialogue. Like, Keith Giffen witty dialogue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing is great is, like, I'm almost like, well, Scotty Young's drawing and Keith Giffen's writing this, right? Because that's kind of what it seems like to me. No, it's not.
Scotty Young is, he's good.
He's very good. And that's the thing that's great is, like, if you can capture a voice like Giffen has been able to do for 30 years or whatever he's been doing this for now, and you have that unique art style that I don't know if anybody in their mother would want to try to copy. You know what I mean?
I love the way his blacks aren't black. Like, I mean, I'm saying he's using black ink, but, like, there's no solid blacks, you know?
So yeah.
It rockets in a pitch black room. And, like, you see, like, marker scribble where he didn't color the entire panel black.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, wow, that works. That's good.
Yeah, he's so...
Two things occurred to me instantly reading these books. And I read them, you know, slowly. I think I read one and two in one setting, and then I read three when it came out.
Yeah.
Two things. Scotty Young isn't going to be able to keep this up on a monthly basis.
No.
It's too good. And second thing is, why isn't Scotty Young doing a creator-owned book?
Yeah, I agree. That is a good thing. How long do you think Scotty Young can keep it up? What kind of pace can he keep up? I mean, because he can put out 8 issues at a time, because he's done that with the Oz stuff.
Yeah.
And then he takes like a 3-month break, and then he does it again. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm trying to think back to when he was doing the new X-Men or whatever it was. I mean, he was doing like he would miss like 1 or 2 issues a year on the book, and it was good. But he's writing and drawing.
Yeah. Which takes a lot more out of you.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he did New X-Men 37 to 43. I'll tell you what, the Cable and Deadpool covers that he did were really good, too.
Which is weird, because he was, what was the podcast he was on at the time? Around Comics. He was talking about how he was just experimenting. He was just making stuff up.
That's funny.
And they were like, you know, this is our least selling book. No one cares. Have fun. So he only did like 12 issues on
No, not even 12 issues. It was 37 to 43. It's like 6 issues.
It was the best part of that run, I'll tell you.
Yeah, because he did New Warriors, Reality Check 1 through 6.
Yep, he did. Who wrote that with him?
I don't know. It doesn't say. I'm just
that was good. He did a great Speedball, and his Nova. I mean, you know, Spidey calls him Buckethead. He looked like a Buckethead in that. Like he was just, you know, broad shoulders, big head.
He did a Human Torch series 1 through 6.
That was not good.
He did Venom 14 through 18. I don't know what. There's been 17 different Venom series, so I don't know. And then he's done
Venom.
What's that?
I can't stand Venom.
Neither can I. And then there's the all the Oz stuff that he did, which he was doing 8 to 6 issues a year on that, and that looked. Did you ever read any of those?
No. It's on my wish list.
I've read the first two, and they're beautiful. They look really good. They're outstanding. Cool. I think you like the writer, don't you? Isn't it Eric Shanover or whatever his name is?
I don't know what else he's done.
I think he does Age of Bronze. I think he's the guy who does – he's an artist too in his own right.
Yeah.
Eric Shanover, yeah. Age of Bronze is his big book, which is all about the Trojan War and everything.
Okay.
I think Image puts it out. But anyways, the Oz stuff is really good that they did together.
I definitely want to check it out.
But yeah, I think it's a fun series, and I think people should really give it a look, especially coming off the heels of the biggest summer blockbuster of the year, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And I know we get to talk about Guardians a little bit more, which is always fun. So, because this is only like the fifth podcast we've done about this, something.
Is this a miniseries, or is it ongoing?
I think it's ongoing, but okay. I don't know how long it will ongoing. Yeah,
it doesn't say like 3 of something.
No.
On the cover. It just says 3.
So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I was kind of expecting them to reveal the other rocket or the other raccoon a little faster, not the very end of the third issue, but I like the way that they did it so far. You know what I mean?
Well, at this day and age, I'm always looking at things like single issues, trying to anticipate. Okay, so they have 2 more issues before the trade.
Right.
So he has 2 issues to wrap this up.
Right, yeah.
You know, that television is ruined for me that way, too, because I'll be fast-forwarding and, you know, while I record something on DVR or whatever, and I'm like, okay, they've got 11 minutes. Wrap it up, fellas.
Yeah, and then it's like, how forced is this ending going to be versus is it going to seem natural, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But I don't know. How are we doing on time? Are we okay?
17 minutes. I don't know what else we can say. We both love it.
Yeah, I mean, only 3 issues, so there's not more we could say about it, but yeah, I'd definitely say
download it. Thank you, Scotty Young, and I will buy whatever he comes out with next.
Yeah, exactly, because his artwork is just fantastic, so.
Yeah. He's got to be doing some sort of creator-owned thing, or Marvel's throwing a ridiculous amount of money at him.
I bet they're throwing a lot of money out of it, especially right now. I bet.
Are they making a lot of money out of this?
I don't know, but, I mean, with Disney money behind them and with the Guardians selling or doing as well and people wanting Rocket Raccoon stuff like crazy, like, I mean, literally you could put a heaping pile of trash on it and just, like, color a picture of Rocket Raccoon and people are like, oh, okay, I'll pay $10 for that. You know what I mean? Like,
hello,
I think
Etsy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, but... he's got to be getting paid really well.
Because
if not, I think Dark Horse or Image will be knocking at his door really soon.
Yeah. Surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
Okay, that's all we got to say. We're both happy.
Yes. All right, until next time, kiddos.